This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello and welcome to A Taste of Sex, a reality audio show on life in an orgasm-based community. I'm your host, Bob Gower. This series is a peek into the private lives of the world's leading experts in orgasmic innovation at the One Taste Urban Retreat Center in San Francisco, California. One Taste is a business that helps men and women explore their sensuality. It's also a growing community, currently of about 50 people. We live together, we work together, and we pursue a practice called orgasmic meditation that brings mind and body into awareness and acceptance of the self. In this first episode of the series, we'll hear from Nicole Dadone, founder of One Taste. Dadone has pursued the practice of orgasmic meditation for about 10 years. In July 2004, she and a few others decided to open the center as a means of bringing sensuality into the mainstream. On this show, we'll hear from Nicole Dadone and how she discovered the practice of orgasmic meditation. We'll also learn how she thinks about sensuality and its place in our lives. Finally, we'll discover just how it was she came upon a vision for One Taste. Tune in and turn on.
There's 6 billion people in this world, and each of us was conceived by orgasm, by at least one orgasm. So there have been at least 6 billion orgasms on Earth, and the truth of the matter is it's the place where we all meet. Sex is forgotten, and it's the area where we go unconscious. It's the area where people check out. And we've agreed to have that be okay, but I think what ends up happening is that it ends up ruling us because we aren't looking at it. I want to learn how to connect with the things I don't want to connect with. Learn how to connect when I'm really jealous and I want to look away and I want to get pissed off and I want to shut down. Or learn how to connect when I'm in the middle of a yoga pose and the sensation is uncomfortable and I want to retreat back into that comfortable part of my mind. And sex tends to hold a lot of those areas that I want to disconnect from. The idea of safety, the concept of safety, is actually one of the most dangerous concepts that's out there. We have conflated the idea of safety and insulation. And I happen to know that when I'm insulated, I don't have access to all my senses, so I don't know what's going on. Like, all of a sudden I'd be making out with somebody and I would think, ew, gross. How did I get here? And then I would go back and I'd be a good person. I was actually celibate for 2.5 years. And then I discovered the practice of orgasmic meditation. Everything changed. I went to this party, and the party, it had a lot of Buddhists, a lot of different mystical people, and my people were there. And I ended up talking to this guy, and about sex, and he said, how would you like it if I put all of my attention on on your genitals? He actually didn't sound like Rod Sterling, but he said, if I put all my attention on your genitals for 15 minutes, and it will be timed, and I will keep my clothes on, and you'll just have your pants off, and we will talk before, during, and after the experience. And at the end of the experience, you will owe me nothing. You'll never have to do anything back in my direction unless you want to. And you're free to just get up and leave. And if you ever want to do it again, we can do it. And, it was sort of one of those cosmic moments, because it was not something I ever would have said yes to. But he happened to have answered all of my resistance fears before I could begin to argue. And so I found myself saying, okay. And he said, okay, let's go. And so I did, which was just so weird. It's a really weird way to come out of celibacy. And what happened was he did exactly what he said he was going to do. And he began by describing my pussy. And I remember he said something like, your inner labia look like the inside of a shell with a pink, orange, and white burst. And in that moment, I just started crying. And something really deep cracked in me, and I realized, oh, it was, I don't even know if it was shame or it was something that had been mysterious and bad for so long, was now out in the open under an approving eye, and it was something powerful had transformed from something hideous and monstrous into something beautiful. He was looking at my genitals, and then he did what I now know to be a lube stroke. I see, just talking about it, it's funny. And he put lubrication on my genitals and then started describing every single thing that he was feeling. And, you know, I was so apprehensive and nervous and skeptical and pissed off and scared and upset that, you know, I wasn't really feeling any of those things that he was describing. And then something happened, and he moved his hand up to his finger, his index finger, up to what I now know to be my spot, which is in the upper left-hand quadrant. And it was something plugged in. The thoughts that were in my head immediately, in a way I had never so palpably experienced, drained out of my head, and my body became full electric sensation. It only happened for a few moments, but it was unlike anything I had ever experienced. It was more profound than any experience I had ever had, and I knew that I wanted to dedicate my life to extending that moment. The next major thing that happened was I went to a demonstration of a woman in orgasm for 1 hour, and, you know, there I was once again, and I'm an academic, so I pride myself on my skepticism, and I was sitting in the room, and one of the things that I didn't understand was happening was what's called tumescence, and tumescence is a rise in sensual energy. And so there was this high energy. Well, the high energy was activating the myriad thoughts that were in my head, and so I was thinking, this is crazy, this is ridiculous. And then someone started to stroke this woman's genitals in front of me, which I'm a normal red-blooded human being, so the whole thing seemed really weird. I was watching, and it was interesting enough, and then again something happened where something hit me in the chest. I was looking down, and I felt like I could feel the stroke on my own genitals, and I felt like I could feel the sensation that was in her body, in my body, and that was it. That was it. And then I looked up, and it looked the same, and I looked back down, and I just decided I was going, something had happened beyond what my conscious mind could figure out, and so I was going to scientifically begin to break this thing apart in order to understand it. As I understand orgasm today, I wasn't orgasmic, and I, when I first even started the practice, somebody's stroking my genitals, and they stroke up, down, up, down, up, down. For the first 6 months, I couldn't tell the direction that somebody was stroking in. I was that disconnected from my genitals. So in some way, it began with a resistance I didn't even know I had. It was like this ghost resistance. It was just some kind of disconnection. There was a feeling that some part of me was frozen. And as I progressed in my practice, it began to thaw. And as it began to thaw, it hurt. I mean, it was uncomfortable. It was actually physically uncomfortable. And then all kinds of emotions that were locked in there began to rise up as well. I've been doing this for a long time, and still, I want to be a good girl. I mean, the idea of me having pleasure seems so, like, based in gluttony or seedy or bad. Even, you know, deliberate, conscious pleasure seems seedy and bad.
You're listening to A Taste of Sex, a reality show on life in an orgasm-based community. We'll be back after a short break to hear more from Nicole Dedone.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Erotic Poetry Reading, a companion program to Life in an Orgasm-Based Community. It's open mic night at One Taste San Francisco, a weekly audio program on personallifemedia.com.
You know, I had a lot of my sexuality was coupled with love and romance. And so what I would do, I would fall in love and have a lot of romance, and then I would have sexual activity. And I, rather than actually feeling the sex, I would feel the relationship. Does that make sense? And I was actually very sneaky about not actually ever confronting my genitals as genitals. I'm interested in sensuality because there's such a deficit in understanding about sensuality specifically, but the idea is to integrate it in balance in the body. I do want to say, oftentimes when people first start opening their sensuality, it does seem like, oh my God, this thing's going to take me over, I know it. But oftentimes that's just the hunger of not having had your sensuality open. Once you get it open, it, you know, it moves into balance. I remember I asked this woman, she had had a sensuality practice for a long time, and she had done a demo, and she was a teacher, and I so looked up to her, and I said, what have you learned? And she said that sex can take its right place in your body. Or a lot of men come through, and they'll say, oh, you know, I just want all the pussy I can get. And then when they get it, when they actually get plugged into it, it's a much different experience than craving it. I think the experience at first is just shocking. It's just, because you're feeling something very different than all the stories you've been thinking in sex. You're actually feeling something there. So it's like this electrical feeling is starting to rise in your body, and most of us don't have a reference for what's happening. And so there's this feeling rising in my body, what exactly is happening? And it's a little mystifying, and as it's happening, I'm having to reconfigure my identity. Orgasms changed a lot in the past year, and it's changed a lot in the past 2 months specifically. The way that my genitals have come to feel like almost as if the minute you put your finger down on my genitals, they turn like to a pool of water, and the pool of water begins to emanate throughout my entire body. And as the pool of water emanates out, it dissolves my flesh and my material being. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that oftentimes I ask for experiences. You know, oh, please let me open a center, or please let me find the one, or please let me have the best orgasm of my life. And that every single one of those things I've ever asked for has shown up. That's the incredible thing. They always show up. The question is, when they show up, am I there to greet them? And oftentimes they come in an unfamiliar way. Or that they feel unfamiliar, and because they feel unfamiliar, I push them away. And so it's a matter of as soon as I feel uncomfortable, being able to stay there. And that's what the practice is about. The practice really is about teaching me to stay in the places where I feel uncomfortable, because when I do that, I can have anything I want. There's a great part in a Rilke essay where he writes, has this life terrors. We must remember that those terrors are our own, and as we get to know them, they'll become princesses, something of that nature. And that's very much how it's been for me. Everything that tortured me, I came into direct contact with and befriended, and as I did, it changed. And that's really what had me start to move toward One Taste. I mean, the story is actually really funny. I was living in a house. We were teaching courses. We were doing fine, you know. And orgasmic people tend to, well, for a period of time, be orgasmic people. And so I, you know, I was involved in my practice. I was actually what I now understand to be deeply immersed in my limbic system. And I went to get a facial, and I was lying there, and I had been talking for about 10 years about someday opening a center. And people would say, rather than saying when hell freezes over, they'd say when Nicole opens a center. And but I was going to open a center. And so I was in a facial, and they had put my hands in this hot thing. It was wonderful. And something tapped into a deep part of me. And I mean, it sounds so trippy, but, and so I heard, now's the time to open the center. Now's the time. And then image after image after image started coming to mind. And then I went home, and I was living in community at the time, only it was a very small community. It was about 7 people. And I told everyone my picture, and they said, haha, okay, great. And then 2 days later, I went online and I found the building. And then in that same way that I had talked about being connected, I plugged into something, and then it just began to take us. We just did a business summit, which is very funny for a group of orgasmic. I mean, we had oming in our business summit and yoga, but we had somebody say, an actual business person, a CFO, say we're in what's called the flood stage. And so what that means for us is that we're in a stage where orgasmically, what this would mean would be that our limbic system, our autonomic system was turned on. We are officially turned on. And so now it's a matter of going on the ride. When you have community and you have an orgasmic community, there's a sense of balance that you can continually plug into and draw from whenever you need it. We have the fundamental precept in this practice to stay connected no matter what. Just stay connected no matter what. And your whole world changes. Every idea that I ever had about being scarce changed when I decided to stay connected. Because suddenly, the half of the world that I was cutting myself off from was available to me.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.